I call the San Francisco Department of Disability and Aging Services Commission meeting of Wednesday, April 2nd, 2025 to order. I am the DOS Commission President, Janet Spears. This commission meeting is being conducted pursuant to the provisions of the Brown Act. As noted on the agenda, members of the public may observe this meeting via sfgovtv.org and sfgovtv channel 78, and they may offer public comment by calling the published public comment phone number. I'd like to welcome the members of the public and staff who are watching us on sfgovtv. To eliminate background interference, all panelists and presenters that are presenting via WebEx are asked to mute themselves when not speaking or waiting to present. The San Francisco HSA DOS Commission acknowledges that we are on the unceded ancestral homeland of the Ramaytush Ohlone, who are the original inhabitants of the San Francisco Peninsula. As the indigenous stewards of this land and in accordance with their traditions, the Ramaytush Ohlone have never ceded, lost, nor forgotten their responsibilities as caretakers of this place, as well as for all people who reside in their traditional territory. As guests, we recognize that we benefit from living and working on their traditional homeland. We wish to pay our respects by acknowledging the ancestors, elders, and relatives of the Ramaytush Ohlone community and by affirming their sovereign rights as First People. Mr. Secretary, will you please take the roll?
Good morning, and thank you, President Spears. Commissioners, please respond with present when I call your name. President Janet Y. Spears.
Present.
Vice President Nelson Lum.
Present.
Commissioner Sasha Bittner.
Present.
Commissioner Wanda Zhang.
Present.
Commissioner Martha Knutson.
Present.
Commissioner Barbara Sklar is right here. Present.
Right.
There we go. Commissioner Linda Parker Pennington.
Present.
And DOS Executive Director Kelly Dearman.
Here.
Thanks, President Spears. We have a quorum.
Thank you.
Commissioners, the next item is item 3, communications. We'd like to provide further instructions for the public comment process. Public comment will be available on each item on this agenda and during general public comment. Both channel 78 and sfgovtv.org are streaming the number across the screen. Each speaker will be allowed 3 minutes to speak. Comments or opportunities to speak during public comment period are available via phone call. During each public comment period, viewers and callers will be instructed to call 1-415-655-0001, access code 2660-243-7722, pound, and then pound again. When connected, you'll hear the meeting discussions, but you'll be muted and in listening mode only. When your item of interest comes up, dial star 3 to be added to the speaker line. Best practices are to call from a quiet location, speak clearly and slowly, and turn down your television or radio. You'll have 3 minutes to speak, and you'll be informed by the moderator when you have 30 seconds left. After 30 seconds, you'll be muted and placed back to listening mode. Alternatively, public comment can be submitted by email to ravi.derbige@sfgov.org. If you submit public comment via email, it'll be forwarded to the commission and will be included as part of the official docket. Are there any other communications from DOS Commission members? Okay, thanks. We can move to item 4.
All right, commissioners, your next item is agenda item 4, approving the minutes of Wednesday, March 5th, 2025 DOS Commission meeting. Are there any comments from the commission regarding the minutes? Mr. Secretary, do we have anyone from the public who wishes to comment on the minutes?
Do we have anyone from the public who wishes to comment? Moderator, please open the phone line for callers. Moderator, do we have any callers in the queue? There's no callers. Thank you.
All right. Hearing no further comment, no further request to speak on the item, is there a motion to approve the Wednesday, February 5th, 2025 DOS Commission meeting minutes?
So moved.
I'll second.
So it's been moved and seconded. Mr. Secretary, will you please take a roll call vote to approve the Wednesday, March 5th DOS Commission meeting minutes?
President Janet Y. Spears, how do you vote?
Yes.
Vice President Nelson Lum, how do you vote?
Yes.
Commissioner Martha Knutson, how do you vote?
Yes.
Commissioner Sasha Bittner, how do you vote?
Yes.
Commissioner Wanda Zhang, how do you vote?
Yes.
Commissioner Barbara Sklar, how do you vote?
Yes.
And Commissioner Linda Parker Pennington, how do you vote?
Yes.
Thanks. We have a unanimous vote.
Thank you. Commissioners, our next item is item 5. It is the Executive Director's Report, and we will hear from Executive Director Kelly Dearman.
Thank you so much, President Spears. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Okay, so I'm going to start with some good news. Yesterday, Gerald Commons was opened. It is a temporary shelter targeting older adults struggling with homelessness. This innovative program aims to provide essential support, and this is the first time we've had a focus on older adults. And it includes 68 new shelter beds spread across 60 cabins. Historically, older adults and people with disabilities in shelter placements, they encounter particular difficulties and barriers that limit their ability to move through the shelter system and into stability. So these include things like non-medical personal care and paramedical services. So with this partnership between housing and supportive housing, homelessness and supportive housing in DOS, caregivers on site will be able to provide the necessary support to meet the needs for older adults staying at Gerald Commons. So we're really excited to have this shelter dedicated specifically to the unique needs of the population we serve, who also comprise a disproportional number of people experiencing homelessness in San Francisco. So this is a demonstration project, and it opened yesterday, and there's a lot of work happening with IHSS to make sure this is a viable project, and we think it's just another way that we can help older adults in San Francisco.
Great.
Now, to some not-so-great news. On the federal level, you all are aware that Health and Human Services announced their restructuring, and their plan is to combine personnel cuts, centralization of functions, and consolidation of their divisions. So the current 82,000 full-time employees will be reduced at the end of the day to 62,000. 28 divisions will be consolidated to 15, and 10 regional offices will become 5. And I'm sure we all heard yesterday that the regional office here is being closed. And Speaker Emeritus Pelosi put out a great statement saying the danger this will cause to our population. So it is yet to be seen what will happen. So they're forming this new administration for a healthy America. Aha.
Right.
And it will, and the goal is to be able to more efficiently coordinate chronic care and disease prevention programs and harmonize health resources to low-income Americans. So, Health and Human Services will have a new assistant secretary for enforcement to provide oversight of the Departmental Appeals Board, the Office of Medicare Hearings and Appeal, and the Office for Civil Rights, and in an effort to combat waste, fraud, and abuse. It will combine the Assistant Secretary for Planning and Evaluation and the Agency for Healthcare Research and Quality into the Office of Strategy so that they can conduct research that informs the Secretary's policies and evaluates the effectiveness of the Department's programs for a healthier America. The critical programs within the Administration for Community Living, ACL, that support older adults and people of all ages with disabilities will be split across the Administration for Children and Families, the Assistant Secretary for Planning and Evaluation, and Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services. So, it is unclear at this time if any specific programs currently administered by ACL will be cut or eliminated, but the reorganization does include a deep reduction in staff members. So I've been staying in close touch with US Aging and with our state association, and over the last few days, the aging policy briefing took place in DC, and there were talking points that members took to Congress. And some of those questions are, will the Assistant Secretary on Aging position be lost in this transition? This is a Senate-confirmed leader who reports directly to the HHS Secretary. And a priority a prioritization of leadership that is more important than ever, given how fast the aging population is growing. Another question is, will any of ACL's critical programs and services be lost in the transition, which then creates a loss of access to services for older adults, people with disabilities, and caregivers across the country? So we really want to know how this reorganization and the dismantling of ACL is going to affect the people that we are charged to serve. So, and most importantly, it's important and essential that the reorganization does not create gaps in aging service delivery. Although, I'm not sure how that's going to happen, but we will see. So at the moment, we in San Francisco receive like about $7,760,000 in Older Americans Act funding. So far, we've claimed just over $6 million. We claim it monthly. We're going to continue to claim per month as normal. But of course, we don't know what's going to happen in September, so we have a little over $1.5 million left to claim, and we'll just keep doing that. In my mind, it might be slower to get responses, but we will see. We know also, I think I mentioned this last month, that the Older Americans Act has not been has not been reauthorized yet, and that's another thing that we need to happen. So U.S. Aging is working very closely with several people on the Hill to see how we can move this forward. But with this new reorganization, everything is kind of up in the air. We know here in San Francisco, we are really fortunate because the Older Americans Act funding is less than 10% of our budget. But for rural counties and other counties across the state, the Older Americans Act funding is the only funding they receive. And without that, they're not able to provide any services to older adults. So it just remains to be seen what will happen here. And because, as you know, the Older Americans Act funding, it supports family caregivers. It helps people to be able to stay at home and live in the community where they want to be. Transportation, doctor's visits, all of those things. So all this to say, I don't have all of the answers yet. We are, we obviously are focused on this, and we'll keep you updated as we find out new information and where and what this means exactly for us, but we don't know that yet. The next thing I want to talk about is the Dignity Fund locally. So the March controllers update came out, and while it doesn't provide a definitive answer on whether or not the Dignity Fund will be funded, but it is now a policy decision. Because we are really close, the deficit continues to be really large. I can tell you that given our current fiscal constraints and the very limited budget flexibility that we have, it's extremely unlikely that we will fund the growth, especially since we have hit the deficit trigger, but we haven't passed it, so it's not like a clear decision. But I think as a policy decision, it is very likely that we will not get that new funding or get the $3 million to do more growth. So because at this point we're considering making service cuts to other programs, it seems inconsistent for us to expand funding in other areas simultaneously while we're cutting some. So we are trying to, and we will, maintain our core services and just continue to do what we can. So the last piece that I have is good news. So we've all heard of Halliday Plaza. So Halliday Plaza is a key transit hub. It links Union Square, Market Street, and downtown. Thousands of people rely on BART, Muni, and the Powell Street Station daily. But decades of neglect and a broken elevator have made it inaccessible and uninviting. So there was a bond in 2024. The 2024 Prop B bond allocates $41 million for downtown public improvements, including ADA barrier removal. So the Office on Disability and Accessibility, which is now part of DOS as of yesterday, has been working very closely with members of the Board of Supervisors and the community who have all been saying, we have to do something about Halliday Plaza. You cannot only look at the Embarcadero. So I am pleased to announce that as of yesterday, we know that we're going to get $9 million to fund the restoration project there, which will include a circular ramp. It'll get rid of the elevator that doesn't work, and it'll make for a much more beautiful and inviting place for everyone. And I think it really will start the or add to the revitalization of that Market Street area and gateway to Union Square. We're really excited. This was something that Director Gillardin has been working really hard on, and 2 months in, he's really hit a home run. We're really proud of him, but I think I want to thank the community who really like stepped up and said, this is not okay. So we're hoping to be able to make more announcements during Disability Pride Month, and I will share the schematics and everything with you as it becomes more available. But this, it's really exciting because we do believe with the money that's been allocated, we'll be able to make it a really great thing.
Awesome.
Oh, the last thing I want to say is I'm part of the palliative care, San Francisco's palliative care work group. National Healthcare Decisions Day is coming up. We are going to be having a press conference at the Curry Center, April 16th or 15th. Anyway, I will send you all the information, and if you would like to come, we would love to see you. And please remind everybody that it's never too early to take care of your advanced health care directives. And that's all I have.
Thank you. Commissioners, are there any questions?
First of all, thank you, Colleen.
Sure.
I'm sorry, I forgot to be called on.
We can wait for you to remember.
No, I know what I want to say.
Okay.
First of all, thank you, Gary, for all the hard work you're doing. I know it's a difficult time with the federal administration. In terms of, ISS and the potential cuts to Medicaid, as the department talked about what they may do if that happens. I mean, you don't have to tell me what they're coming to do, but as happened. Selfishly, that's what I'm worried about since I rely on.
Yep.
I know none of this is you doing, but I'm just the one doing it well. Right.
Yes. Thank you, Commissioner. The question is about Medicaid and what is going to happen or what we think is going to happen. We don't know what's going to happen is the problem. What I believe, if there are serious cuts to Medicaid and other programs, but Medicaid in particular. It hits our entitlement programs very specifically. And I know that HSA as a whole, we get about $450 million of Medicaid per year, I think. I think we would then have to make some decisions about how we're going to, if Medicaid gets totally cut and we're dealing with this entitlement program, then at the end of the day, obviously some hours for people would have to be cut so that we can make sure that everyone who needs hours gets hours. It'll be dire, I believe, and because we are getting mixed messages as to whether or not that's going to happen, it's making it more complicated for us. I can tell you, Commissioner, that we are thinking about it every day, hoping that that is not going to be the end result, yeah, and trying to figure out what really will we do for the 28,000 folks that we that receive this service and need this service. So yeah. I will let you know when I know what we're going to do, but we are thinking about it and talking about it.
I know that I've been advocating against any cuts. Like, I was at a press conference with the Speaker Emerita, mm-hmm, and Adam Schiff about this issue. I'm just deeply, deeply concerned, mm-hmm, not only for myself, mm-hmm, mm-hmm, but especially for those people who don't have any family support, or, right, because, if worse came to worse, I do have family support, but there's so many people who don't.
Yes.
And also, and on a happier note, I just want to say how happy I am about the elevator at that plaza, because it's been an issue for as long as I can remember, and it's kind of time for it to be.
Totally. Yes.
It's like, if it's like, I know I used to, have to cross the street to get it outside, because,
Yeah.
It was ridiculous, so I'm really glad. Yes. And also, it was just, I didn't feel safe.
Yeah.
Anyways, thank you.
Thank you so much. Is it okay if I just repeat a little bit of that? Is that So Commissioner Bittner was at a press conference with Speaker Emeritus Pelosi and with Adam Schiff, and they are all very deeply concerned about what's going to happen with Medicaid, and no one seems to have an answer. Maybe that's me editorializing. Sorry, Commissioner. Commissioner Bittner also said that there's great concern for those people who don't have family and friends, and because she knows worse comes to worse, she has family who will help her, and that is what's weighing really heavily on all of our minds, Commissioner. And then that she's really excited about Halliday Plaza, that elevator has been broken for longer than she can remember. It's like 20 years. And just this idea that you have to cross the street to try to get to where you're going. And in the event of an emergency, let's just think about it, none of those people, nobody would be able to get out or get in. So she's very excited about that. So thank you so much, Commissioner.
Thank you. I know there's two questions over here. So,
you start.
Oh, yeah. I just wanted to say, congratulations on the good news. Gerald Commons is not far from where I live. I'm really excited to see that open. And fixing Halliday Plaza is huge. So, bravo. In terms of everything in the middle, mm-hmm. did that in a sandwich kind of way. How clever that
was. That was intentional.
Very nice. And but what's in the middle is a real miasma of uncertainty. And I guess my only question is, I don't really know how these things work, but is there a conversation at the state level to help offset the services that are going to be lost as a result of the reductions in force in HHS? And I mean, even if it's just like the beginnings of discussion, because California seems to be trying mm-hmm. to be proactive about these things.
Yes, there is the conversation. However, the state budget is also in a bad place. So sure, we can talk about it, but it's not really clear that there'll be any money coming from that, but we are, through the state association, having those conversations to figure out. I mean, older adults are the fastest growing population, and so we can't be ignored. So, but you know, when there's no money, there's no money. So it's a bad situation. We knew the federal administration would be coming for California, and that's what's happening.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you.
Commissioner Knudsen?
Yeah, just first of all, to acknowledge just the emotional depth of all of this, so I don't want to go there, you know, but just to acknowledge that we are all feeling that very deeply, and what you're going through every day and the staff is going through every day, we so appreciate. Right. So I wanted to say that. I know that you are without having to check in or anything like that. Couldn't have better advocates, in other words. But I wonder then, it's such a complicated thing when they're laying off federal employees and just deciding to cut funds, all right?
Right.
Is the city, now that more and more is becoming apparent, the HHS thing has happened, any coordinated city response to this, especially working with the city attorney's office to litigate, if there's anything we can do to get people, you know, if they can, anyway, could you talk about anything you know that way?
Yeah. So first, thank you very much, and thank you for acknowledging the staff, who I know it's hard to be here right now. It's hard to not have any good news. Or just this air of uncertainty and this constant state of chaos and anxiety is very difficult. And I do applaud the staff for showing up every day and continuing to do what you can do on behalf of the population that we serve. I know it's really hard. And in addition to it being hard professionally, I'm sure it's hard personally. So I do thank you for acknowledging them, and I should have said that earlier, so thank you. We are having a meeting with the mayor tomorrow, a department head meeting, and I am hoping at that meeting he will talk about what our coordinated response is going to be, because we don't know yet. But I do know the city attorney stands at the ready and is filing lawsuits as it makes sense. But I am hoping to have more information on that tomorrow.
And then I know it's not direct, just if there is something that you hear mm-hmm. about ways we can advocate for federal workers, mm-hmm. Even I think there's people are going to watch them walk out. I mean, I think there's these kind of things. Just let us know.
Absolutely.
Because you know, we can spread the word in our own ways and get that out there. And everyone doing something
yep.
matters right now. So thank you for that.
Okay. Yep. Of course.
I wanted to go last because I knew the other commissioners would touch on all the key points. And I just want to let you know that we will get through this.
Mm-hmm.
This is dark times, and we have people that we represent and people who need the services that are provided by your department and the other departments in the city. These times of uncertainty will make us lean into working with each other in different ways that we haven't thought about. Mm-hmm. And I appreciate your leadership and what you are seeking to do in this very turbulent time that we're in. And there has to be light at the end of the tunnel, because we are in the darkest of days that I have experienced in my lifetime, and I'm not young. So thank you for the work that you're doing. Thank you for your leadership. Thank you to the staff for all that you do for the older adults and adults with disabilities. And please keep your head up and know that we will get through this, and we will find a way to provide what people desire as we look at the federal, state, and local ways of providing services. So that's all that I wanted to say. And I wish it was better news.
Yeah.
But I love the news on the end, on the, that you sandwiched at the beginning and the end.
Yeah.
I cannot tell you how excited I am about Halliday Plaza.
Right.
You know, when I heard that the Embarcadero was getting fixed and beautified, I'm like, I know they're going to fix Powell Street, because we really needed that fixed. It is the centerpiece of the city, and the cable cars stop there, so you can't be having that be a mess.
Right. Thank you.
So,
can I just we really appreciate having a commission who gets us, appreciates us, asks the tough questions, and really helps us get where we need to go. So I just thank you all for just really standing up for us and being there. So thank you.
You're welcome. Okay. Mr. Secretary, you are up.
All right, commissioners, item six is the DOS employee recognition. Executive Director Dearman, President Spears, and the DOS Commission will honor the DOS April 2025 Employee of the Month, Douglas Ogan, who is a clerk in the Adult Protective Services team.
Yay!
The DOS Adult Protective Services team is proud to recognize Douglas Doug Ogan as the April 2025 DOS Employee of the Month in appreciation of his outstanding contributions, unwavering dedication, and exceptional service to our community. Doug joined APS as a clerk in April 2024 and quickly became an integral part of the team, demonstrating remarkable proficiency in our program's operations and systems. Each day, he meticulously reviews reports of abuse concerning vulnerable older adults and adults with disabilities in San Francisco, ensuring timely and accurate cross-reporting with IHSS for shared clients and the Special Victims Unit when necessary. Beyond his core responsibilities, Doug plays a vital role in supporting APS workers by providing seamless access to case information, managing mail circulation, requesting police reports, and maintaining organized case files. His exceptional adaptability and efficiency enable him to shift priorities effortlessly, ensuring the program runs smoothly. Recently, Doug was instrumental in transitioning APS case files into a paperless system, freeing up valuable office space and significantly improving records management. His keen eye for process improvement also led him to develop a customized spreadsheet that streamlines data extraction for daily tasks, reducing errors and enhancing workflow efficiency. Doug's dedication extends far beyond his job description. He consistently goes above and beyond, offering insightful input on new clerical processes, asking thoughtful questions about emerging projects, and stepping in to support colleagues whenever needed. Despite the volume of inquiries he handles daily, he remains patient, kind, and always willing to help, ensuring that everyone around him feels supported and valued. A man of few words but immense impact, Doug is known for his precision, professionalism, and reliability. His colleagues frequently praise his responsiveness and willingness to assist, recognizing his role as a cornerstone of APS's administrative functions. His contributions have strengthened the team's effectiveness and exemplified the spirit of public service. It is a privilege to work alongside Doug, and we are thrilled to celebrate his well-earned recognition. Please join us in congratulating Doug on being named the April 2025 DOS Employee of the Month.
I just want to thank my workers, fellow workers, who actually make my job pretty easy. So thank you.
You want to come down and take a picture? All righty, commissioners, item 7 is the Advisory Council and TAC report presented by Advisory Council President Alan Cooper.
Good morning.
Morning.
As you get older, your voice gets softer. That's a known fact, well established. So hopefully you can hear me.
Yeah.
Because I'm old. There's no TAC report, but there is a meeting this month, and so next month we'll have an update. We don't need to talk about Director Dearman's report. We welcomed our new member, Harry Brough, to the Advisory Council, and for those who read the Chronicle carefully, he was heavily profiled on the front page, I think, on Saturday. At the time of his 80th birthday. Harry's going to be a great addition. I've known him for a while now. The next presentation we're hoping to have to the Advisory Council will be on conservatorships and the expanded role of the department in the new care court. As to the Older Americans Act, it hasn't been reauthorized yet. And it was asked if I could, because I know people on Justice and Aging, inquire of them what was going on. They haven't responded. Mm-hmm. They don't know. I did do my best to do a deep dive into what's pending with the House and the Senate. And as far as I can tell, using artificial intelligence, there are no bills being prepared right now. There was a unanimously approved Senate bill, as you know. In the last Congress, hopefully that will be revised, but is a new administration. The Dignity Fund was discussed. Juliet Rothman will continue to focus on site visits, and this month, in 2 weeks, we're going to try and find, I have a pretty long list of places that have been visited in the last 5 years. And so we'll hopefully focus on organizations that haven't been visited, and I know Ravi and Mike are helping, and I'm going to send them my list, which has around, we've actually done about, in the last 5 years, more than 20 site visits, so that's good. We then had a presentation on the revisions to the area aging plan that I'm sure you'll get momentarily. Changes from the old draft were highlighted, and I'm sure Izzy will do a fine job in pointing those out to you as well. There was a brief discussion about the funding as well, and the revision was unanimously approved for submission by the council. A long presentation from Sidney Kaufman, Deputy Director of DOS, presented a detailed overview of DOS programs. What was remarkable was that even people who have been on the board for many years, 10 plus, learned lots and had lots of questions. And I think everybody now has a better understanding of how the different pieces of DOS fit together as a result. In reports from the field, Marcy Edelman commented that the Dignity Fund and DOS have really stepped up for LGBT programming over the years, and as we all know, she was a leader in making that happen. The Senate and Assembly have some parallel bills covering adult protective services, IHSS, and the Brown Act, amongst others, and they're being followed by the Joint Legislative Committee, as you probably know. We talked about the needs assessment, and hopefully you'll get the Dignity Fund presentation on the needs assessment as well. It was a really excellent presentation. about how they're going to reach out and try and go deeper into finding communities that haven't been assessed in the past and seeking new ways to get to the people who aren't usually in the radar. And that'll be excellent. And we will, we've offered to cooperate, and we will certainly cooperate with coming up with ideas for how to identify underserved or at least under-surveyed groups. And that, last but not least, Margaret Graff, a longtime member, will be honored by District 4 Supervisors Edgardo as part of Women's Month for her distinguished service at the next Board of Supervisors meeting, which I guess is 325. And we're all invited, I think, to attend and cheer her on because she's been a real important advocate for seniors, particularly in the, her area in the Sunset. Any questions?
So, commissioners, are there any questions regarding the advisory report? No questions, but thank you very much for the presentation.
Okay, commissioners, item 8 is the case report presented by Fiona Hinze via WebEx.
Okay, commissioners, thank you very much. Good morning. Before we get started with case, if I may just take a point of personal presenter privilege here to congratulate everyone who was involved with securing the Holiday Plaza funding. I know that was a sprint in particular for Director Jordan and Deputy Director Kaplan, and I appreciate them the last minute push to really engage with community on that. And I've actually seen the renderings that they procured, and I can second Director Dearman's comment there that they are beautiful. So I'm excited to have you all see them at a later date and really to weigh in and see that become a reality. And congratulations to your counterparts over at MDC who heard the item last month as well and gave the community another venue to give city comment to city leaders around it. So just congratulations to everyone at DOS and the Office of Disability and Accessibility, all that. Now, to case related items, and I'm glad I took the presenter privilege to talk about good news because I also have not so good news to begin my report. You are seeing me today because Judith Danzer, who usually has given these reports in the past, is leaving her position as Senior Center Director at Sequoia Living effective May 2nd. She is going to work at a small business that is not a case-affiliated agency. And so that also necessitated her resigning from the case board of directors. We thank her for her service. And as her co-chair, I really am grateful for working with her and her having really diving in with both feet and giving so much time to case. And the Metafund grant, she was really the driving force behind that and pushed us to pursue it. So we, the board of directors, wishes her nothing but the best in her future endeavors. And I know that she enjoyed seeing you commissioners every month and chatting it out and listening to the information that was presented at these meetings. In the interim, we are looking for the board of directors will be considering a new co-chair in the next few months in in the interim, you will be seeing me every month until further notice. So I'll be looking forward to chatting with you every month in these reports.
Thank you.
Now to the more boring program stuff that I'll update you on. Last month here in March, we had someone from the Stanford Sleep Lab come and give a presentation around aging and sleep, around getting quality sleep and what we can do. This was also a referral from Mike Zog. So we thank him for continuing to feed us referrals for presentations. We actually had this meeting we had an in-person meeting at the Stonestown Y Annex. And so we always like having in-person meetings to connect in person and to see our sites, which is something that I know that the advisory council does as well, periodically go and do a little site tour and see what's going on at that site. So big shout out to the Stonestown YMCA for hosting us. Next meeting, we will have someone from the San Francisco Office of Financial Empowerment come to present to us around their programs available for the community. So we're excited for that. We're back on our virtual meeting schedule. Again, we aim to have quarterly meetings, so our next one will be in September, around September. Lastly, with the MediFund grant, I promised you I'd give you an update every month. So we have now our job descriptions out for a project manager, a strategic planner, and an administrative assistant. We are actively recruiting for all three. With the leadership change at Case and with also rolling out the grant, it's going to be a lot to try to get through, but we're with the support of the board and the members, I think we are up for it. But it's gonna be a ride over the next few months. And so with that is my report, and I will see you next month, and I'm happy to take any questions.
Commissioners, are there any questions regarding the Case report? Oh, hearing no questions or raising no hands. Thank you so very much for the report. And please give Judith the answer our best as she moves on to her new assignment in May.
I will. Thank you, commissioners.
Okay, commissioners, item 9 is general public comment, an opportunity for members of the public to address the commission on matters that are not on today's calendar. Are there any members of the public that would like to address the commission today? Okay. You'll have 3 minutes to speak.
Okay, and I talk fast.
Yeah, and when you have 30 seconds left, I'll let you know.
All right, thank you very much.
Okay, thanks.
So good morning, commissioners and Executive Director Dearman. My name is Marie Jobling, and I'm here today representing the Dignity Fund Coalition. You know, we are here once again working to help the city keep the promise of the Dignity Fund. The fact sheet that we have to pass out to you all is really just a reminder about the state of seniors and people with disabilities here in the city. There are more of us, we are getting older and poorer, and the level of fear is really going through the ceiling these days. The San Francisco Dignity Fund members are in the process of meeting with supervisors to urge that the $3 million that is has been part of the promise of the Dignity Fund, but not always available every year, that we do ask them to make good on that promise. That $3 million has actually been a buffer in many years when there have been other cuts or need to rearrange the money. And I think even more than ever, $3 million in DAS's budget to be able to address the most critical needs and address whatever cuts may be coming our way will be really important. So we share the reminder again, as and this year's campaign is that forget us not. And so you will have these little posies here. They've been made by seniors in our community. They started out as little blue forget-me-nots, but you know they couldn't be contained. So now they become quite more elaborate and beautiful. But the message is still the same. You know that people are out there. They're really concerned. They're doing what they can, not just making these flowers, but doing postcards, talking to their supervisor, and so forth. And we know that, as Executive Director Dierman mentioned, it's a policy issue this year. The Comptroller's report came out, and it does list the Dignity Fund as one that will maybe not get the $3 million, but then in the budget, it shows the $3 million. So one of those is wrong, and we hope with our effort in the public policy arena, we can get that $3 million in. It shouldn't be just because the law requires it. It should be because it's what's fair and just. So, and we know that the mayor controls the budget process, so that's where we especially would like your help. Of course, talking to the supervisors are great, but to the extent you can help the mayor, help us hold on as a community to that $3 million, it would be very much appreciated. All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Good morning, and thank you for this opportunity to speak. My name is Patty Spaniak-Davidson. I'm with the Community Living Campaign. I'm the Director of Community Engagement, overseeing 8 aging-in-place models throughout the city. And I just had to come here today, not to tell you something you don't already know, but older adults were just afraid in general of aging in San Francisco just because of costs alone, right? And now this layering, this political environment with the threats of budget cuts, anybody says Medicare, Medicaid, you know, it's just like this fear is permeating this community. We have excellent turnouts now because I think people are afraid and they want to come together just out of fear. They want to be with people who are, you know, they can discuss the same issues. So I'm just here to say that older adults in San Francisco are on edge, and they'd like to know, what can we do? You know, I'd like to invite you to our Never Better event, Never Better Elders, on May 15th at the County Fair Building. And one of the things we'll have there is a chart that says, what can I do? I can't go to Washington. I can't change policy. I'm 78. I'm sitting in my living room. What can I do? And we're trying to find things that they can do, whether it's writing letters, organizing, or just being good neighbors. Anyway, if you have any ideas for me, I'm all ears. And I invite you to Never Better on the 15th at the County Fair Building. Thank you on behalf of the people that we serve.
Thank you. Thank you. Are there other members of the public that would like to speak? Moderator, please open the phone lines for any callers. Are there no callers? Thank you very much. Commissioners, your next item is item 10, old business. Commissioners, please indicate by raising your hand if there's any old business that you'd like to discuss. Okay.
Thank you. Commissioners, your next agenda item is item 11, new business. Items 11A through 11F are action items that require a vote by the commission. Our first item is item 11A, the DAS Commission appointing Daisy Jimenez to the DAS Advisory Council as a DAS Commission appointee for a 2-year term. This will be presented by DAS Commission Vice President Nelson Lum.
Good morning, Madam President. The nomination committee met via Zoom and interviewed Ms. Daisy Jimenez on February 24, 2025, the committee decided to recommend the appointment of Ms. Jimenez to the position of member to the DAS Advisory Council for a two-year term. I so move.
Second.
Commissioners, does anyone want to make any additional comments regarding this? Sure.
Members of the public, please come.
Good morning, Commissioner. My name is Daisy Jimenez, and I just wanted to say thank you. I'm honored and grateful for this appointment. I had the pleasure of meeting Commissioner Jung and Commissioner Lum, and just recently, Commissioner Martha in the elevator this morning. Just a little brief about myself. I'm a native San Franciscan, raised in the Mission, and now reside in District 11. And after a 35-year career with the telecommunication industry, I decided to go to school to learn about my passion in nutrition and got a certificate at City College and got a volunteer position with the 30th Street Senior Center as a peer educator in diabetes. And that led to a job offer, so 2 weeks before the pandemic. So I worked there for a bit and then just moved on and now I'm a recipient of some of the senior services and activities throughout the city. So thank you for this opportunity.
Thank you. Thank you for being in District 11. That is my district.
Are there any other members of the public that would like to comment? Moderator, please open the phone lines for public comments on agenda item 11A. We'll allow some time for callers to submit their request. Moderator, there are no callers in the queue. Thank you very much.
Hearing no further requests to speak on this item, I'm looking for a motion to approve.
So moved.
I move.
He already moved.
Oh, yes, it's been moved and seconded.
Oh,
thank
right.
you.
He moved
it. Thank you. It has been moved and seconded. I apologize for that. We did it twice, but we get the first one since it was moved by the nominee committee. So, Mr. Secretary, will you please take a roll call vote?
President Janet Weiss-Pierce, how do you vote?
Yes.
Vice President Nelson Lum, how do you vote?
Yes.
Commissioner Martha Knutson, how do you vote?
Yes.
Commissioner Sasha Bittner, how do you vote?
Yes.
Commissioner Wanda Zhang, how do you vote?
Yes.
Commissioner Barbara Sklar, how do you vote?
Yes.
And Commissioner Linda Parker Pennington, how do you vote?
Yes.
Thanks. We have a unanimous vote.
Thank you. Commissioners, our next item is item 11B, the review and approval of the FY 2025-2026 area plan update for the California Department of Aging. This will be presented by Izzy Clater.
Good morning, Commissioners. My name is Izzy Clater. I'm an analyst with the Human Services Agency Planning Unit. I'm here to seek approval on the finalized Area Agency on Aging Area Plan update for fiscal year 2025 to 2026. As you may remember, I presented a draft of this report at two public hearings in February and March, the latter of which was the last commission meeting. These hearings provided an opportunity for comment on its development and its content. This finalized area plan update that you have today reflects key discussion topics from those public hearings featured in the public hearings section of the report, beginning on pages 9 of the report. This includes discussion on congregate meals funding, services for middle-income older adults and people with disabilities, outcome measurement for the area plan and beyond, and the anticipated impacts of new federal priorities on DAS programs and service populations. This draft also includes minor updates to the org charts and advisory board sections. Thank you.
Thank you. Commissioners, do you have any questions regarding the area plan for Ms. Clater? I just want to make a comment. Thanks for the updates and pointing out where those updates were in the new in the final report. We have had the opportunity of seeing this a couple times, and I'm glad to hear that it's gone through the advisory councils and all the other places that the community has the opportunity to weigh in on. So hearing no further comments, Mr. Secretary, are there any comments from the public?
Do we have any members of the public that would like to comment on agenda item 11B? Moderator, please open the phone line for comments on public comments on 11B. We'll allow some time for callers to submit their request. Are there no callers in the queue? Thank you very much.
Hearing no further requests to speak on this item, I'm looking for a motion from the commission.
So moved.
So it's been moved and seconded. Mr. Secretary, will you please take a roll call vote?
President Janet White Spears, how do you vote?
Yes.
Vice President Nelson Lum, how do you vote?
Yes.
Commissioner Martha Knutson, how do you vote?
Yes.
Commissioner Sasha Bittner, how do you vote?
Yes.
Commissioner Wanda Zhang, how do you vote?
Yes.
Commissioner Barbara Sklar, how do you vote?
Yes.
And Commissioner Linda Parker Pennington, how do you vote?
Yes.
Thanks. We have a unanimous vote.
Thank you. Thank you, Ms. Clater. Our next item, Commission, is item 11C, requesting authorization to modify the existing grant agreement with Self-Help for the Elderly for the provision of CalFresh Healthy Living during the period of April 1st, 2025 through September 30th, 2025, in the additional amount of $120,093 plus a 10% contingency for the revised total amount not to exceed $593,632. And this will be presented by Tiffany Kearney.
Thank you. Good morning, Commissioners, President Spears, and Executive Director Dearman. As mentioned, my name is Tiffany Kearney. I'm a registered dietitian and the lead nutritionist for DOS. Today, I'm requesting your approval to modify an existing grant agreement with Self-Help for the Elderly for the CalFresh Healthy Living Program. The program aims to improve the health and well-being of low-income older adults by promoting healthy eating, active living, and preventing chronic diseases. Through this grant, Self-Help for the Elderly and Leah's Pantry, as their subcontractor, will provide evidence-based nutrition education, physical activity program throughout the city. They also support policy, system, and environmental change interventions in the community, also known as PSE work, through partnerships with organizations that serve DOS clients to encourage and support healthy lifestyles. The modification before you today will expand the reach of the program. Specifically, it will support more nutrition education and physical activity programs such as Tai Chi for arthritis, Bingo Size, Everybody Loves Line Dancing, and Food Smarts at a minimum of 6 new sites with a particular focus on engaging consumers in the Bayview and Western Addition neighborhoods as well as Treasure Island. The additional programming will entail 16 new sessions of evidence-based education and physical activity classes, reaching at least 300 more consumers. The modification also includes a cost of doing business adjustment for fiscal year 24-25. We're excited to expand CalFresh Healthy Living programming to better serve the community and are confident that this modification will benefit more older adults across the city. Thank you, and I will do my best to answer any questions you may have at this time for this modification.
Thank you. Commissioners, are there any questions regarding this modification?
Just a quick question, and then you go. Yeah, go ahead. I was just interested, maybe it's always been in there, but I just wanted to acknowledge how much I appreciate the fact that the Around the Table Nourishing Families, the nutrition curriculum includes trauma-sensitive understanding and facilitation and the connection between that trauma and nutrition and adequate diet and healing trauma. So I don't know if that's new or did I just notice it?
It's kind of new to this particular grant term.
Okay.
It is a new offering through the CalFresh Healthy Living curriculum that we've, you know, again, as you know, this grant has gotten larger over the last couple of years, and as a result, we've been able to expand offerings. And we've also, through self-help, has also engaged Leah's Pantry as a subcontractor, and they're able to provide more of this type of programming. They're also the state-designated agency that does a lot of the curriculum, so we're quite lucky that we're able to have them as a subcontractor.
Thanks for adding to that. Thank you very much. Yeah,
sure.
I just
look here and then to you.
Go first.
Ms. Kearney, thank you for the presentation. I just was wondering if you can expand just a little bit how it was determined to focus on, I noticed in your presentation also written, focusing on the Western Addition as well as Treasure Island. How were the need, how was that determined that you need to expand those into those neighborhoods?
Sure, that's a great question. Thank you. A lot of it was, you know, based on our community needs assessment and where services were where services were needed and where there was a demand for more programming. Western Addition, quite honestly, was sort of a just recently kind of came in the mix with the closing. There's just been a lot of, you know, with that community, a lot with the closing of the Safeway, and it became a lot more clearer that that was an area that would benefit from more services. So a lot of the services are, you know, they are with community partners within that area, but just, again, trying to engage with more folks in all of those areas. Did I answer your question?
Yes, thank you.
Thank you.
I just had to thank you for this. I was really excited to see the programming because it certainly seems very holistic and with the, you know, the Tai Chi and the body, you know, connected. And I think those kind of programs are hard to come by. And so I like to see that range. And I do appreciate the service areas that are focused. I use services at the Rafiki Wellness Center in the Bayview, but it's a kind of a unique thing there. So we need more of those kinds of programs. And that's where I see this, you know, filling a need. So I'm glad it's based on the needs assessment. So you were, you know, driven by the customers in those areas. So I appreciate that.
Great. Thank you.
Any other comments from the commission? Mr. Secretary, any comments from the public?
Are there any members of the public that would like to comment on agenda item 11C? Moderator, please open the phone line for public comment on agenda item 11C. We'll allow some time for callers to submit their request. There are no callers. Thank you very much.
Okay. Hearing no further comments to speak on this item, may I have a motion for item 11C?
So moved.
Second.
So it's been moved and seconded. Mr. Secretary, will you please take a roll call vote?
President Janet Weiss Spears, how do you vote?
Yes.
Vice President Nelson Lum, how do you vote?
Yes.
Commissioner Martha Knudsen, how do you vote?
Yes.
Commissioner Sasha Bittner, how do you vote?
Yes.
Commissioner Wanda Zhang, how do you vote?
Yes.
Commissioner Barbara Sklar, how do you vote?
Yes.
Commissioner Linda Parker Pennington, how do you vote?
Yes.
Thanks. We have a unanimous vote.
Thank you very much. And I know you're not going anywhere, so here we go again. Okay. Our next item, commissioners, is item 11D, requesting authorization to modify the existing grant agreement with the San Francisco Marin Food Bank for the provision of food assistance program during the period of April 1st, 2025 through June 30th, 2025 in the additional amount of $270,235 plus a 10% contingency for a revised total amount not to exceed $9,430,406. Once again, Ms. Kearney will present this item.
Thank you again, Commissioners, President Spears, and Executive Director Dearman. I'm now requesting your authorization to modify an existing grant with San Francisco Marin Food Bank for the food assistance program. The food assistance program offers critical support for older adults and adults with disabilities by ensuring consistent access to nutritious food. Through a network of pantry sites across the city and through DOS-funded home deliver grocery programs, the food bank provides weekly support at no cost to eligible consumers. The modification before you today will support an additional 23,727 bags of groceries for the home-delivered grocery program, which is essential in supporting the health and wellness of our clients, especially those who face mobility and access challenges. The food bank supplies our home-delivered grocery contractors with a weekly delivery of food in sufficient quantity and variety to ensure that the HDG program participants can prepare at least 7 meals per week. The food they provide aligns with the dietary guidelines for Americans, including fresh fruits, vegetables, low-fat dairy, lean proteins, and essential cooking staples. In addition, this modification includes a cost of doing business adjustment for this fiscal year. Thank you for your consideration. If you have any questions, I will do my best to answer them at this time.
Commissioners, are there any questions regarding the home-delivered meals in this modification?
Sure.
Go ahead.
Please.
Ms. Kearney, thank you again. I just wanted to ask if you can help me connect the dots. You were here last month for a grant modification for San Francisco Marin Food Bank. The amount was $116,000 for 77,000 bags of groceries. And then this one is for the $270,000 and for the 23,727 bags of groceries. So can you help me connect the dots?
Sure. That's a great question. These are a little like confusing. Mm-hmm. So last month, I presented two grants with the San Francisco Marin Food Bank. The first grant, the one that you're referring to, I think I actually probably should have brought that old agenda with me, but we modified their current home delivered grocery grant. That grant, the home delivered grocery grant, is specifically for the delivery of groceries. So that grant pays for delivery, just delivery. So that's it.
Okay.
Also at that time, I presented a new grant, which was the food assistance program, that was a new grant for fiscal year 25-26. For the next 4 years.
Right.
If you remember at that time, this grant was also on the agenda, but we had to pull it because there was an error in the budget. This modification is to modify their current grant for the food assistance program, which is supplying groceries for all of the home delivered grocery partners who do the delivery. So the food bank has two separate roles in this sort of system, if you will. This grant here that I'm modifying and the one that I presented as a new 4-year term last year, that is they supply the food. They are the food supplier. And then there are also, and I'm actually in not this next presentation, but the one that's coming, the fourth one, I'm going to present home-delivered grocery grants, which again is for the service of delivering the groceries. And the food bank is also getting a grant to do delivery, but they're also a supplier of the food.
Yes.
It's taken me years to kind of get it, and it is a little, we're very lucky that we have such a robust sort of food system and that the San Francisco Marin Food Bank can do both. So, which is, we're very, very lucky for that. So did that answer your question?
Yeah.
Okay.
We help. Thank
yeah,
you.
Yeah, sure.
Thank you so much for that question, because I was wondering and I knew you would get it. it's taken years, and I agree. Commissioners, are there any other questions?
Elegant answer.
Yeah.
I really appreciate you, Commissioner, for being that
focused on what happened in the past, because I wasn't that clear, so I really, and I appreciate your explanation. I did have a question just about to what extent this is meeting the full need for food delivery. To the extent that you understand the totality of the need, I'm wondering how far we're getting to fulfilling it.
Yeah, I mean, that's a great question. I mean, I think the demand for nutrition support is still very high in the community. In terms specifically for home-delivered grocery services, when I checked last month, there was about 475 folks on the wait list. So we're doing the best that we can within, you know, sort of the, within our means that we can do. So, there is a wait list, and for home delivered grocery services, and the food bank, as well as all of our few other partners, are doing their best to, you know, to serve. But, you know, there's only so many resources and so much capacity.
Yes. Okay. I appreciate that. Thank
yeah.
you.
So I'm going to ask to connect a dot, too. So when you say there's 470 on the home-delivered meals wait list, does that mean that they may be getting meals at congregate sites, or just they're not getting food at all? I just want to make sure I understand that part.
Yeah. I mean, so they could be. Certainly. They also could be getting home-delivered grocery or home-delivered meals. It kind of depends. It's less likely that they're getting home-delivered meals just because usually if someone's getting home-delivered meals, they would not have the capacity to probably cook. But they also could be visiting pantry sites. A lot of people need the extra support to have those groceries delivered. So they could also maybe be having a friend or a proxy pick up for them for temporarily. And they also could definitely be getting congregate meals. They also could be, because we are continuing with to-go meals, they could potentially be getting to-go meals as well.
Okay. That makes me feel a little bit better. The wait list, not so much, but I feel a little bit better that all of these seniors and people with disabilities are not going hungry.
Yeah, I mean, we do our best to try to make sure that, you know, that resources, that people know about resources.
Right. Mr. Secretary, are there any comments from the on this item?
Are there any members of the public that would like to comment on agenda item 11D? Moderator, please open the phone line for public comment on agenda item 11D. We'll allow some time for callers to submit the request. Moderator, do we have any callers in the queue? There are no callers. Thank you very much.
Okay, hearing no further requests to speak on this item, we will close public comment. And is there a motion to approve this item 11D?
Second.
So it's been moved and seconded. Mr. Secretary, will you please take a roll call vote for item 11D?
President Jenna Weiss Spears, how do you vote?
Yes.
Vice President Nelson Lum, how do you vote?
Yes.
Commissioner Martha Knutson, how do you vote?
Yes.
Commissioner Sasha Bittner, how do you vote?
Yes.
Commissioner Wanda Zhang, how do you vote?
Yes.
Commissioner Barbara Sklar, how do you vote?
Yes.
And Commissioner Linda Parker Pennington, how do you vote?
Yes.
Thanks. We have a unanimous vote.
Thank you. Our next item is item 11E. Requesting authorization to modify an existing grant agreement with Episcopal Community Services for the provision of AWD congregate meals during the period of April 1st, 2025 through June 30th, 2025 in the additional amount of $109,491 plus a 10% contingency for a revised total amount not to exceed $618,463. Once again, Ms. Kearney will present this item.
Thank you, Commissioners, Executive Director Dierman.
All of us.
I know. Hello, everyone. I'm requesting your approval to modify an existing grant agreement with Episcopal Community Services for congregate nutrition services for adults with disabilities. If it's okay with the commission moving forward, I would like to refer to Episcopal Community Services as ECS to just kind of streamline my presentation and avoid me mumbling or jumbling my words. This grant modification adds funding to help meet the growing demand ECS is experiencing in their Congruent Nutrition Program for adults with disabilities, where they are currently over-serving. This added funding is being reallocated from their Congregate Nutrition Program for older adults. The allocation will not adversely affect their meal program for older adults and better aligns resources for their nutrition programs and clients. The reallocated funding will support 11,000 more meals for at least 275 consumers. A small amount of one-time-only funding is also being added to support security equipment and an electric countertop steamer. The security equipment includes additional cameras due to multiple break-ins at their central kitchen over the past couple of years, and the steamer will improve cooking efficiency and enhance food quality. ECS will continue to provide nutritious meals, nutrition education, and conduct nutrition risk and food security screenings at their three dining sites, serving both older adults and adults with disabilities with options for dine-in and to-go. ECS offers multicultural menu featuring entrees from a variety of global cuisines, such as adobos and curries, Asian-inspired dishes like Mongolian beef and teriyaki chicken, as well as more American Western entrees like meatloaf and mashed potatoes. Additionally, they provide culturally relevant vegetarian menu to meet the diverse dietary preferences of the populations they serve. This modification also includes a cost of doing business adjustment for this fiscal year. Thank you very much and for your consideration. And again, I'm here to answer any questions you might have at this time.
Thank you. Commissioners, are there any questions regarding this modification, 11E? There are no questions from the commission. Mr. Secretary, are there any questions from the public?
Are there any members of the public that would like to comment on agenda item 11E? Moderator, please open the phone line for public comment on 11E. We'll allow some time for callers to submit their request. Moderator, do we have any callers in the queue? There are no callers. Thank you very much.
Hearing no further requests from the public or from the commission, I'm looking for a motion to approve item 11E.
So moved. Second.
So it's been moved and seconded. Mr. Secretary, will you please take a roll call vote?
President Jenna Weiss Spears, how do you vote?
Yes.
Vice President Nelson Lum, how do you vote?
Yes.
Commissioner Martha Knudsen, how do you vote?
Yes.
Commissioner Sasha Bittner, how do you vote?
Yes.
Commissioner Wanda Zhang, how do you vote?
Yes.
Commissioner Barbara Sklar, how do you vote?
Yes.
And Commissioner Linda Parker Pennington, how do you vote?
Yes.
Thanks. We have a unanimous vote.
Thank you. And now to what to the grant we've been waiting for. Our next item is 11F. It is requesting authorization to enter into a new grant agreement with multiple providers for the provisions of home-delivered grocery program during the period of July 1st, 2025 through June 30th, 2029 in the amount of $6,416,268 plus a 10% contingency for the total amount not to exceed $7,057,895. And Ms. Kearney will present this item.
Okay, thank you again, Commissioners, President Spears. Finally, I'm requesting your authorization for the department to enter into new grant agreements with four community partners to implement home-delivered grocery programs, HDG for short. Each of these organizations is a current contractor for the HDG program, and their existing grants end on June 30th. This past December, we issued RFP 1175 to secure new contracts for the program. Chinatown Community Development Center, Community Living Campaign, Golden Gate Senior Services, and San Francisco Marin Food Bank participated in this competitive bidding process and were awarded new grants. As you know, DOS offers a range of community-based nutrition and wellness programs to improve the quality of life of our most vulnerable populations. A key challenge for many older adults and individuals with disabilities is food insecurity, often due to fixed incomes, rising living costs, healthcare expenses, and limited mobility. The Home Delivered Grocery Program is a critical part of our efforts to address this issue. The HDG program ensures that eligible consumers receive groceries directly at their homes, empowering them to prepare nutritious meals and maintain consistent access to healthy food. The groceries delivered through the HDG program are supplied through DOS's food assistance program. The selection of groceries provided are based on USDA defined food groups aligning with the dietary guidelines for Americans. Each weekly delivery is designed to offer a variety of items that enable participants to prepare at least 7 distinct meals, supporting both their health and independence. DOS supports various HDG program models tailored to community needs, with a focus on addressing nutritional health and related services whenever possible. The program designs for Community Living Campaign and Golden Gate Senior Services aim to provide more comprehensive support by not only meeting the food needs, but also offering social services and wellness activities to alleviate isolation and loneliness. Chinatown Community Development Center program focuses on serving individuals living in SROs. They work closely with the food assistance program contractor to ensure the food for their clients is appropriate and compatible with the capacity to cook and store food. Lastly, San Francisco Marin Food Bank's HDG program provides 2 essential services. First, it delivers groceries to eligible consumers citywide on a weekly basis. And second, the Food Bank HDG program includes the management of citywide referrals, intakes, and a centralized wait list for the program. Under these new grants, our community partners will operate the HDG program across all neighborhoods in San Francisco, ensuring comprehensive coverage in all districts with an overarching goal to serve as many eligible older adults and adults with disabilities as possible and offer culturally relevant nutritious food at no cost. The department conducts program monitoring, and for the past 3 years of the current contract term, each of these community partners has been compliant, often exceeding contracted deliverables. Each organization consistently receives positive consumer satisfaction survey results as well. Last fiscal year, over 90% of the consumers surveyed rated their services as excellent or good, and most also reported positive impacts on their health and well-being, including eating more fruits, vegetables, and whole grains, being less worried about having enough food, and feeling healthier because of their participation in the program. The HDG program is a vital part of our efforts to combat food insecurity and support the health and well-being of our clients. And I respectfully request your approval for these 4 new grant agreements so that we can continue to provide these essential services. Thank you for your time and consideration, and I'll do my best to answer questions.
Thank you. Commissioners, are there any questions regarding this grant agreement?
We'll go down the row.
Okay.
Right. No, please. This is. I just had a question because this is a 4-year grant period. Is there an interim review process where we look at how effective it is along the way? I'm sure there is, but I just curious.
Well, we're actually right in the middle of doing our monitoring season now, but we do sort of on a monthly basis. Like we're tracking. Like when they invoice, we are tracking their service deliverables. So we know that all of these providers are on track to meet their service deliverables this fiscal year. Our consumer satisfaction surveys are actually due this month. We have no reason to believe that that their services would not be, consistent with the last three and a half years.
Okay.
I mean,
so
in terms of the outcomes.
Those are done annually, the consumer satisfaction. Okay,
yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
Super. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
Commissioner Knutson, do you have questions?
Okay. A question. For the community living campaign, and looking at the budget, I just wondered, because they're a different model, but it's great, so I'm not critical of it. But I was curious about, they have neighborhood connectors that are part of this program, and what role do they play? Just to give me a better idea of visualizing how they operate to help with the nutritionists.
Is that the neighborhood connectors are in their budget specifically?
Yes.
Yeah. So they, my understanding is that the neighborhood connectors would be like some of the staff that actually do the social service outreach, make those calls, make those connections, do the social service, component, and also outreach.
So people would learn about the program.
Yes, and then also social services, because that's also a very critical component of their program model.
Okay, no, that's good to understand. Thank you.
Ms. Kieran, I'm sorry, I'm still connecting dots, okay?
Okay.
So this grant is for the delivery of meals.
Correct.
Okay, and we have the three organizations that have been contracted. And I noticed within each organization, they identify in their site maps, they're using different organizations. For example, since we're looking at community living campaign, they're working with Bayfield, working with OMI, working with Partner Sets. So how does that work?
That's a great question. Those are their packing sites. So that is where their deliveries are, where their because each of these grantees, as part of their, sort of their proposal, they need to have a drop site for where the San Francisco Marin Food Bank would, specifically for CLC, Golden Gate, and Chinatown Community Development Center, they need to have a drop site where they can drop off all the food that they're going to pack and then deliver to clients. So in CLC's case, those two or three sites that are on their site chart, that is where those groceries are delivered. And then CLC staff and volunteers will then pack up the groceries and then make those deliveries. And that's the same with Golden Gate Senior Services and also Chinatown Community Development Center. They have one, Golden Gate Senior Services has two. And then the San Francisco Marin Food Bank, they have their own massive site. So does that make, did I answer your question?
The groceries that deliver or the bag, and then the contract staff, it's responsible to do delivery.
Correct.
Is that, okay.
Correct.
Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah, I know. I should have a big whiteboard, a flow chart.
Yeah.
I think I got those dots now. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
Commissioner Lum.
Good morning.
Good morning.
With the most likely impending cuts that we are going to get from both the federal and the state level of budgeting, is there anything in the contract that specify that if we don't get the amount of money that we are anticipating, that we can actually reduce it?
Well, first of all, these contracts are city funded, all of them. So there is no state or general, there are no federal dollars in this particular, these are all Dignity Fund funded. So there's that. That said, I think in all of our contracts, and maybe if someone from contracts wants to correct me, but I think in all of the contracts, there is a clause that basically says that, should funding not become available for any particular reason, I think the city does have the right to stop services. I think My sense is that that would be very unlikely given this is dignity. You know, again, I don't think it's impacted by state or federal dollars at this time. So that's a good thing. So did that answer your question?
Yeah, thank you. Yeah,
sure.
Mr. Secretary, are there any questions from the public?
Are there any members of the public that would like to comment on agenda item 11F? Moderator, please open the phone line for public comment on item 11F. We'll allow some time for callers to submit their requests. Moderator, do we have any callers in the queue? There are no callers. Thank you very much.
Hearing no further requests to speak on this item, we will close public comment. Is there a motion to approve?
So moved.
So it's been moved?
Second.
And seconded. Mr. Secretary, will you please take a roll call vote for item 11F?
President Janet Weiss-Spears, how do you vote?
Yes.
Vice President Nelson Lum, how do you vote?
Yes.
Commissioner Martha Knudsen, how do you vote?
Yes.
Commissioner Sasha Bittner, how do you vote?
Yes.
Commissioner Wanda Zhang, how do you vote?
Yes.
Commissioner Barbara Sklar, how do you vote?
Yes.
And Commissioner Linda Parker Pennington, how do you vote?
Yes.
Thanks. We have a unanimous vote.
Thank you. Commissioners, first, I just want to commend us as a whole, as a body of the whole, for asking the questions and being prepared. I really appreciate serving on this commission, knowing that we are doing our due diligence and understanding how the dots are connected, albeit we're not working in the department, but we have a responsibility to oversee. So I'm glad that everyone comes prepared, so thank you for that. Are there any other announcements that the commissioners would like to make? Hearing none, I will adjourn the meeting for the HSA, Department of Disability and Aging Services Commission. It is 11:08. Thank you all very much for being here.
Thank you.
Thank you, everyone.